Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm going to start by saying something controversial.
Hey, let's go.
Trigger warning.
Let's get canceled.
If your current approach towards financial planning is your clients get their assets managed or buy insurance periodically, and then you sprinkle financial advice on as they ask you questions, you are doing a massive disservice to your clients. And I feel, as I say that, because I came from the heavy insurance world, and then I came from the AUM world, and then have now ventured into financial planning, getting paid for my time and ideas. What I've lived out is the difference in intention and depth of research and advice when I'm being paid to do a financial plan, contrasting that to, I never thought about it really before. Like, if the client asked me a question about estate planning or something, I'd say, well, here's what I would do if I were you. But it was mainly about managing money and insurance. And so now what I've realized is that most clients' financial plan is based on investments or insurance with some random stuff sprinkled in. And if that is currently your approach towards financial planning, today we're going to talk about how we shift that. Whether that means you partner with another advisor that can do a deep dive for your clients because you say, I don't want to go down that path, or you hire somebody on your team to start doing financial plans, we need to let our clients know there's something else out there besides mutual funds, stocks, and bonds in their IRA, or buying term insurance or permanent life insurance and getting a basic will done. I think that is the state of many people's financial plan. And as advisors, we have to let them know there's a better way.
One of the things that we do, we've done it at every single one of our dozens and dozens of How to Charge Live events, is where I always do the circle exercise, and I won't give away the whole thing, but the premise of it is that of all the information that you could know about our industry, every piece of information, how much do you really know? And the reality is that the more you learn about the complexity and the scope, we compare it to the closer you get to the sun, the sun doesn't get more calm. It gets bigger and scarier and more complex, right? If you've ever seen a close-up of the sun, it's crazy what's going on. Here, it's like, oh, it's a nice sunny day. You get close to the sun and you're just like, what? This is like the devil's playground, right? There's so much complexity. I want to encourage you, if you feel like this is going to be too complex, it's going to be too hard, like it's not. You have to understand that there is more going on and there could be more going on for you and your clients. And that's an okay thing. Like, you're not doing it wrong. You just didn't know. But once you know, you're not serving your clients as well as you could have. So Stan, I do want to ask you though, like specifically, when you had this realization, part of you was fighting, like, are you telling me I'm doing it wrong?
Yeah.
Right. I think there's some advisors here like, are you telling me I'm doing it wrong?
Yeah. If the measure of us doing it right is that we're making a bunch of money for ourselves, I think that's where you get kind of confused because you're like, wait, no, I'm doing what I was told to do and I'm making enough money doing it and my clients like me. I think that's fine. Like, not challenging that. What I'm challenging, and I had to challenge in myself, was that once the realization is like, oh, a financial plan is not what I'm doing.
Okay.
And so for advisors out there, and I've talked to them, it's like, Stan, I don't want to do financial planning. I want to manage assets or I want to sell insurance. Great. Hold true to that. If anybody asks you if you do financial planning, say, not really. If a client has a question, I'll help them out. But if we can all agree, and I think most advisors, if they were sitting here with me, I could talk to them and realize like, oh, you're doing some of financial planning for clients, but mainly it's based around the stuff you're selling, but you're not really going down the other paths, whether you don't want to, you don't have the expertise for it. But we have to know, like, our clients need to know this is something they should consider doing periodically.
Right.
And so today we're going to talk about, how do you position financial planning to clients? Maybe you've never done financial planning before and you say, I want to introduce it to my practice, or at the very least, if you say, Stan, I'm comfortable, I'm making plenty of money, I don't want to go add any complexity to my business, you should partner with another advisor and say, hey, every 3 to 5 years, you should have a deep dive in your financial plan. Because a financial plan includes retirement planning, tax strategies, estate planning, risk management, insurance, investment management, cash flow planning. Like it can be so much more deep. And every financial plan I do, I'm reminded that, wow, there's a lot that's been missed here.
Hmm.
And most of the people I'm working with have had advisors, have assets. And I'm like, how long has this been unattended? And the client said, I didn't even know you could do this. That we are coaching and educating our clients to think that what a financial plan is my advisor that looks at my investments periodically or sells me some insurance and maybe says, hey, you should probably have an estate plan. If that is the current state of your practice, you're doing a disservice. You're missing something. And if you're hoping your client's just figuring it out on their own, they're probably not, because they're trusting you or maybe even their CPA to tell them all these things, which you're probably not. So for us, I think that's the challenge. And so if you're like, Stan and Andy, you're wrong. You know, you're telling me my business is bad. None of that. But take notice of like your reaction to what we're saying now, because I bet there's some part of you that's like, yeah, there's some truth in that.
Stan, the most encouraging thing that you're going to talk about today is that everything you talk about today, I think we encourage people to do the hard thing, do the difficult thing, because that's almost always the best thing to do, right? And it will give you the best result. But what you're going to talk about today, what you're going to hear today, friends, is a gift, because when we talk to the hundreds and thousands of advisors, we teach this stuff. What they want to go is that, okay, but like, what's the easiest thing I can do first? Which is what's the lowest hanging fruit?
Yeah.
Right. And what I would say is we go, well, there's probably clients you have right now. Not probably. There are clients you have right now that if introduced in the right way, you could do a plan for them. Like, yeah, we know this is true in business. The easiest customer to sell to is the one you already have. Right. So Apple's going to sell me iCloud storage. Why? Because I own an iPhone. It's kind of hard to sell that to an Android user, right? Yeah. So the gift you're going to get today is if you've been listening to us a long time, you're kind of putting your toes in the water, but you haven't really dove in. The easiest people to sell to are ones that you already have trust with. And so what Sen's going to lay out for you today is how can you sell planning to people that already know, like, and trust you, mm-hmm. have already done a transaction with you. This is very, very practical. And I think these are people that, this is when people come to our events, by the time we leave, we'll ask them this question. Like, are there people in your current business, current book of business that you could be doing a plan for? Like, absolutely. Okay. Call them. Yeah. Right.
And it is more work. It will feel unusual to start. You don't need to go from I manage assets to now I reject that and I'm all financial planning. We've seen advisors do that where they have like this moral dilemma crisis of like, wow, this is the only way to do it. And they go full bore. So I didn't do that. I kind of crept into it until I realized, well, I want to let everybody know we offer this.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to talk about today is if you are like most advisors where your business has been based on AUM or insurance, how do you start introducing financial planning as an offering? And what most likely won't happen, you may have some low-hanging fruit in your book of business. I did. Once I introduced this, people were like, oh, this is great. I've been waiting for this. Most are not going to buy it right away.
Right.
Most of the people in your book, you're going to have to introduce it and kind of drip on it and let them know over time, hey, someday we should think about doing this. Because the more you get into it, you will realize, oh, a true deep dive financial plan is much more than I've been giving. If at the end of this, you say, Sten, Andy, I agree with you. I know there's a lot I'm not doing, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to get the expertise in that. There are other ways for you to let your clients know, hey, you may be missing out on some stuff. I have a partner or another advisor that will do a deep dive financial plan for you, and then I'll collaborate with them. So there's still a way without you becoming the expert in it to make sure that every one of your clients knows the depth that a financial plan can go.
Yeah. So on a very practical level, this to me is, if you want to do planning, this episode combined with probably a few more, these are the kind of things that are so practical that Sten wants to show you today and teach you, is that you can go do this. This is why people leave our events and they just go home and they go sell plans, because the opportunities are there. They just didn't have the language. And it's one of the things that as I talk to dozens of advisors one-on-one every week in our group calls, is they're like, guys, just tell me what to say.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're going to give you a downloadable. I built a PDF and I said, okay, what if I was new to financial planning and I wanted to put a visual in front of somebody that describe the difference between what I've been doing versus like, hey, a deeper dive. And so we'll put that in the show notes. You can download it. A bunch of our advisors in our community use it to introduce the conversation. Because if you're just sitting with a client and you currently don't use a whiteboard, and you're just having a conversation, you start talking about this to them, they may be like, say, aren't we already doing that?
Right.
Like yeah. it may not land because they don't have the context. And so somehow you need to come prepared, showing this is what we've been doing and it's worked great. But hey, I feel like it's time and I want you to know this is something that's available, that we do a deep dive on your financial plan. It's not something we have to do every year, but every 3 to 5 years we should do this. So I want to give you the language today and the process of introducing it. So what you avoid is your client someday bumping into somebody else who does talk about financial planning in a different way. Mm-hmm. Because I take clients like this all the time from other advisors. They say, wow, my other advisor has never talked about this. And I will say, yeah, I understand. I mean, most financial plans are just a collection of products people have bought over time. With one or two power phrases, I can take a 15 to 20 year advisor relationship mm-hmm. and have the client be like, oh, but I've been getting a fraction of what's available. Mm-hmm. And that'd be frustrating for the advisor because there's so many meetings, so much trust and rapport. Right. But if I can put like, yeah, I mean, if they've sold you stuff and most of the stuff they talk to you about is just the stuff they sold you and the thing they get paid off of, that's not the advisor I would want to work with.
And it's not planning.
It's helpful,
but it's not planning.
Yeah, if you say something like that to a business owner who gets complexity of, you know, the totality of their financial planning, and I'm like, I mean, do you meet with them once a year and talk about your mutual funds? Maybe once or twice. Okay. Yeah. I mean, when you meet with them, does it feel like they're always trying to get you buy more insurance? Well, kind of. I can take that client right there if I want them.
Yeah.
And so let's not defend our practice. Let's be open-minded. I came from all insurance and I went to all investments. Then eventually my practice has become more of a blended, balanced practice. But my hope is you take away some practical language from this today, that tomorrow you can start having conversations with clients saying, hey, I want you to know there's a deeper dive here that we can do at some point. Mm-hmm. And so first point is plant the seed. Introduce that you offer financial planning, but don't try to sell it the first time. Go in knowing they need some time to digest, and you may have to explain it to them multiple times.
This is not what you're taught in the industry, which is like, you know, always be closing. You know, it's just, it's like if they have the money and they can transfer it, create some urgency and get them to move the money. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Especially if they're, you know, like if you meet someone, they do not have insurance, like they need to have insurance. Like, yeah, you need to close them now. Why? Because they should have insurance. Like that's a moral imperative, right? If you could get paid on it, that's great. But like, it's a moral, like you need to have insurance. With this, because it's going to be new, and there may not be a real level of urgency at that moment, it's something you're going to have to introduce. And I think that lets us acknowledge sort of the elephant in the room, which is that they're going to say, like, if you don't approach it correctly, they're going to say, like, why weren't you doing this before? Or isn't this what you're already doing? Mm-hmm. It is your responsibility to make it really clear why this new thing mm-hmm. is being offered and how it's different. Yep. And so that's the language we're going to give you. But the first is, you know, an average advisor is going to say, here's this thing, buy it now. An elite advisor is going to just plant a seed, educate, nudge, you know, move them slowly towards that decision. But we've got some other tips that are also very practical to execute on this.
And this is similar to when we introduce strategy meetings to advisors and we tell them to get on the whiteboard. And there's this sense or feeling of like, man, if I start doing it this way, they're going to compare it to what I used to do. And I know I've found people don't, they're just excited about the new thing.
Sure.
So I don't think there's a lot of people that will judge you necessarily if you present it the right way, mm-hmm. saying, you know, I've added more expertise to my practice and we actually have a great process now. And this is that one pager you can click and download, where you would say every true financial plan has 6 categories in it. And this is our tool plan score that our advisors use. And the 7th category, if they own a business, is business strength. And you say, this is the totality of your financial plan. And you say, because you've helped them with insurance or investments, maybe even retirement, hey, these categories are really strong. But every 3 to 5 years, we need to do a deeper dive into these to make sure that our current plan is holding up. Mm-hmm. If I was that client, I'd be like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And you say that with a lot of like clarity and sort of like conciseness. Mm-hmm. I have found in talking and working again with lots of advisors on a daily and weekly basis that they often just sort of keep talking. Well, it's kind of like this. And it's what it is. And they don't really know, like, hey, I have this new thing for you to buy, and we're offering this new thing. Mm-hmm. The language is, you said, a few nuanced things is that there's a context of we're always getting better at, you know, legacy for your company. I'm always trying to become a better advisor for you. And so you can say, we are adding this service to better serve you. Mm-hmm. That's true. Versus like, hey, we got this new thing. And yeah. It's not a new thing. It is. I'm a professional and I continue to work to become a better professional, more knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And because we've learned these things, we're now going to be offering this. That sounds like, hey, you got smarter and now I get to benefit from you being smarter.
That's right.
Versus like, oh, cool. You have something else for me to buy.
Yep.
Right.
So step one is plant the seed. Like, start using the language consistently. And part of that is you need to believe that it's worth it. And so that mindset side of things, and that's where a lot of advisors come to our event, because they're like, I just need a 2-day immersion to break through my barriers and head trash. So I am fully bought in. So that when I do explain a financial plan to somebody, I'm not still battling in my mind, well, is that kind of what I've been doing, where I'm sprinkling in some random ideas, but I'm mainly focused on getting more AUM, or I just really want to sell insurance to reach my personal goals. That comes out in your language. Mm-hmm. That will come out as uncertainty when you talk about different areas of planning. Second point is reference it regularly. So when you're in meetings with clients, I mean, you could say something like, this is a strategy that we use for another client's financial plan to help them lower their taxable income. Or this falls under risk management, which is one of the 6 areas of a deeper dive that we could do when we do a full financial plan for you. And so this will come natural over time. I talk this way now when I'm talking to business owners and clients, but you will need to think about it being more intentional when you're talking to clients about, hey, this is in your investment strategy category of your financial plan. Hey, let's pivot and talk about your risk management category of your financial plan. That I believe that all of us as advisors should not be building and talking about financial planning differently, because the categories can be the same. So that download, you can click on the link, shows the 6 categories. And then if they own a business, we call it business strength, because that's buy, sell, key man, operating agreements. I encourage you to start looking at every client engagement as all of those categories. And part of our tool that we have is Plan Score Lite, which maybe somebody doesn't need a full-fledged financial plan now or in the future, but they do need to at least have the conversation that points out, hey, there's a lot more going on here than just investments and insurance.
Let me ask all of you listening, do you have a way that within 10 minutes, you could go and get a really clear snapshot of your client's finances and put it in front of them and explain it to them within 2-3 minutes in a way that you understand and they understand it? And I would say to most people, no, it's going to take longer than that. I got to get more data. There's more tools. There's more complexity. And what we found with Plan Score is that every client wants to know where they stand, but the tools that are out there, though very robust, there's a level of complexity that's important and necessary at times, but also it's too complex at times.
Yeah.
And so that's why Plan Score Lite is great for that. You know, that meeting you have or the strategy session you have with someone's like, hey, just this is kind of where you're at. I also think you bring up a great point, Stan, in regards to just reminding people that you have this thing. I'm always surprised. I don't know if you could think of a business like this. I have one of mine that you find out they sell something and you're like, oh, I didn't even know you sold that. You know, and it's like, you need to mention it often that you have this as an offering, because people are just not going to buy it the first time they hear about it, usually.
Yeah.
I think about the place I got my oil change and like, oh, yeah, we're like a full service. And I'm like, we do everything. We do brakes. We do that. And I go, everything on your branding and everything this place is built for says you just do oil changes. Yeah. And you're like, oh, no, we do all sorts of stuff. I'm like, you should tell people that.
Yeah.
It's like, don't make planning a surprise for people.
Yep. I saw an advisor website the other day that you went to their services tab and it had like 20 things. I mean, it was the classic, like, I think it probably is what preloads into your website, which is like investments, high net worth, college planning, insurance. I mean, it's just like, whoa, that's a lot of things. Where as a consumer, I think I'd appeal more to like a process. Like if they had a web page that landed that said, hey, here are all the categories of your financial plan, and we dive into each one.
Mm-hmm.
So a third point is make it inevitable. When I find myself with clients, my goal is to always say, hey, this thing is coming.
Right.
So as a business owner, instead of trying to like, hey, I have this thing, you should buy it right now, what I'll tell a client is, hey, this is really important. We're coming up on time where we need to do a deep dive in your financial plan, because this can be triggered by, you know, you're 3 years out from retirement, you're about to sell a business, maybe you're an empty nester and looking to downsize your house. Like there are these life events that require just a little more attention to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, hey, 12 months from now, it's going to be time for us to do a deep dive on your financial plan. That's going to be about a $3,000 fee. It takes about 10 hours of my team's time for us to build that, but it's going to be so valuable. And then maybe hopefully you're jumping on the whiteboard and giving them some potential ideas, telling a story of how you've done it with other clients that are similar to them. But if you're planting the seed, you're essentially pre-selling it. So when it 12 months passes and you say, hey, remember when we talked about doing that deep dive on your financial plan? It's time for us to do that. Make this your language. And part of that is, again, you believing in the process and what can be uncovered with a true financial planning process, that you don't feel like you're surprising people. You're setting the stage over time. You're planting the seed. It's part of your ongoing language. But when you're meeting with a client, you are almost always going into a strategy meeting with a client saying, are they due for a financial plan? Similar to when I go into a meeting, if somebody has a 59 and a half withdrawal, or they're about to take Social Security at 62, or they're about to turn 65, be aware of these life events or mile markers so that you can pre-sell or tell the client, we're going to do this. As your advisor, we need to do this.
Yeah.
We just don't have to do it right now.
It's, I don't want to oversimplify things, but I also don't want to overcomplicate things. What are you supposed to do to your car every, you know, 5 to 8,000 miles? Get an oil change, right? And no one's gonna be like, well, for my car, I do it every 80,000. Like, no, you don't. Like,
I thought you were gonna say upgrade your spoiler.
Upgrade your spoiler. Have you ever driven a car with a spoiler?
I think like a really small one once. It was just like for looks. And I remember one time I saw a guy in Nashville driving down the highway, and he built a wooden spoiler.
Whoa.
And he put a sign next to it that said, this is what you look like. Essentially just trolling anybody with
mocking all spoilers. I was like, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea on top of a bad idea.
And then he just bolted it into his trunk.
That's great. So there are certain things if you're a responsible car owner, you do that, right? You go to the dentist every this many months. Like there's a certain things you do to maintain health.
Yep.
And I think that when you look at it that way, it becomes this inevitable thing. Like, why would we do that? Because that's what you do to maintain the health of whatever that machine is that's running.
Yeah, and I think the healthy frustration I have towards me as my kind of past advisor in my practice and really the industry is that we are really telling most people a financial plan is you're funding investments and you bought enough insurance. And then let's talk about it every, you know, once a year. Because that is what most consumers have right now. And so obviously, you know, follow the incentive and why are we doing that? Like I get, it's the thing we get paid for, but part of the drum we're banging is like, no, you can get paid to do more, to, you know, manage the money. If you're great at it, do insurance, if you have that skill set, but let's no longer have, you know, 90% of the population's financial plan focused on mutual funds, life insurance. Like, I mean, when I hear myself say it, I'm like, oh, ouch. But I think that's the state of it as we are today.
Yeah. It's, have you ever heard this Sunday school thing where they talk about like what has a big bushy tail and eats nuts? And the answer in Sunday school is it's Jesus, because the answer is always Jesus, yeah. You know? No, it's a squirrel, kids, you know? But they're like, and I think for a lot of people, it's like, well, if you only have insurance and investments, it's like, well, you just got $1 million. What should you do? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, put it in, you know, invest it. It's like, why? Oh, because that's my only answer. Right. And we're just saying, have another answer for people, right? It's okay to have another answer.
Yeah. Point four is don't assume for them. As we talk to advisors, it's like, oh, I don't think they need it. Or no, they're good enough as it is. There's probably things you don't know about because they haven't been trained to tell you those things. Because if it's not like the performance on their investments or they have this burning question, when I take somebody through a financial planning process and a whiteboard strategy meeting, it is fascinating what comes out. When I compare it to my prior conversations where I brought a mutual fund illustration or, hey, tell me about your insurance and your disability policy. People do not know what to tell you unless you are good at extracting it through a great process.
Yeah.
And so I want to challenge and encourage all of us, don't go into a situation saying like they don't need it.
Well, give me an example of someone that before you would have just gone, oh, they don't need it. And now you're like, I just don't assume.
Yeah, if somebody was, you know, getting close to retirement and I, you know, my prior meetings with them were about their 401k rollover and, you know, funding their IRA and, hey, do they have some term insurance? Maybe we should talk about long-term care. What wouldn't come up is that side business they started that's making $100,000 a year for them. I had a client here in Nashville who, successful pilot, had a couple $1 million in a 401k we were helping out with. And through the financial planning process, he's like, actually, I started this sign business that builders pay me and my team to put signs out every weekend.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably thousands.
And then they have to pick them up every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And he was making $100,000 a year doing that. To him, he was like, oh, that's just some extra money I make. It wasn't part of his financial plan in his mind. It was just another income stream.
And your mind just starts going crazy about like, he's probably paying way too much in taxes on that.
Oh, yeah. We can fund a SEP with that potentially. Like, yeah. Hey, how are you paying your people? QBI deduction. Like, it just opened up this whole new conversation that now the depth of that client relationship and their dependence on me and my team is so much more than like, oh, that Sten manages my investments.
Right.
It's like, no, Sten is my financial strategy guy because we have deeper, bigger conversations. And so think through in your mind, are you having strategy meetings with clients that are dynamic? Or are you having what I used to have, which is, here's your performance. Do you have any questions? When you think about retiring, hey, do you have extra cash flow that we can put more into your investments? Hey, is your insurance outdated? Maybe we should buy some long-term care. Let's look at your company benefits a little bit to make sure that's okay. Like, that was the extent of most of my conversation because it was touching the things I got compensated on.
Yeah.
Where, how could I afford to take them through this deep, long process for free? Because to me, financial planning was free. I was taught you give that away for free. Until I start saying, no, I think it's so valuable, I should get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to our next point. Plans are never free. So I don't say, hey, let me just toss that in for you. Because I know it's valuable in and of itself. And if I'm positioning it as like, this is a separate service and a process, I should be able to go to a great client and be like, man, look how much work we've done for you and the results of it. Now imagine what we could do if we did this. And because you're a current client, the fee is $3,000 for us to do that plan. And it'll take about 2 months.
So here's a pushback. And I'm asking it because I get asked it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
By people reaching out, talking about events and, you know, coaching program. I'll have 5-10 calls like that today. They'll say, okay, but what if they have a bunch of money with you? Shouldn't you just like throw in the plan, right? So what happens? Let's assume you do that. Let's assume that, you know, all they got, you know, I got $10 million with me. I'm just going to throw in the plan. Like, what will happen to the implementation of that plan when you put a $0 price tag on it?
Yeah, I don't think the first plan should be free. I have some pretty big clients where I did the deep dive financial plan. They paid for it. And a lot of my biggest clients, I got them because they did a financial plan and then they moved their assets because they're like, wow, this is just totally different. So financial planning is a door opener. It starts a different conversation.
Uh-huh.
When I was just trying to like take people's investments from another advisor or sell them more insurance, like was not having the results I wanted. You can grind that out. But when I said, hey, actually we offer this and like, oh, that's actually different than something I have now. I'm willing to hear you out. But for my clients where I did have assets, and they actually had a need for a financial plan. I'm not just saying, hey, you're now 65 years old, buy a financial plan from me. I first recognize, hey, you have a need for this and here's the value of it. Right. So that's where we get into like the deep dive language. And we talk about that a lot at our event, is if you present it the right way to an existing client, they're going to say, thank you. Because they know if they pay you $3,000, it's really worth 20.
Absolutely.
Or 30.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of head trash there. But I even have some clients now where I've done an initial plan. They paid me for 1 or 2 years. And then I'm like, you know, you have 5 to 10 million with me. And at this point, we've done a lot of foundational work. I'm not going to keep charging you a financial planning fee.
Yeah, that's fair.
But some of my biggest clients, if I said, hey, you know, it's year five, it's time for us to do a deep dive and I got to get on the phone with your CPA and I have this process. My biggest clients, and this is true, I think in a lot of our industry, provide the least pushback because they get it. And they're like, sounds good. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's probably my lower clients that also need a financial plan that are a little more fee sensitive that might push back. But that's why we have Plan Score Lite, where I tell them, hey, there's a version of this, because just do not assume for them. There's a version of this that takes my team about 10 hours, and that would cost about $3,000 to $4,000. Or we can do kind of a lighter version of it. You've been a client for a long time. This we might be 2 hours into this. We may not uncover everything we want, because there's a lot of time and energy. Now they get to choose. You may have a client that you assume doesn't want to pay for it, and they're like, no, that actually makes a lot of sense. I'll take option two.
Mm-hmm.
But you just shouldn't give them option one or no options at all.
Yeah. I get this picture in my mind. I get this word picture of, one of the things that advisors talk to us a lot about is, you know, in our conversations with them, is how do I differentiate myself? And I get this picture that a lot of advisors' argument is, oh, you see where this money, where you have it parked over here? You need to park it over here. And I'm not kidding. Like, you ever been to the, you've been to a sporting event, and there's all these people like, park here. You can park here for $20, here for $15. You know, we go to Indianapolis 500 every year, and there's people, and it's like, their parking spots are no different, just either closer or further. But advisors are basically saying like, oh, don't park on this side of the street, park on this side of the street. It's like, it's really the same thing.
Hmm.
The question is, can you offer a different service? If you park here, we'll wash your car,
nice,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, and we'll give you an air freshener. Like, I'm parking there, right? Oh, but it costs more. I don't care. I'm getting a better service.
Hmm.
So the problem is a lot of advisors are just saying, oh no, I'm just like, where you park your money with me, it's better. that is not a compelling reason for me to go through the work of moving my money.
That's right.
So that's really the
relationship play. It's like, hey, we go to church together.
Right.
Hey, your kids go to the same school as mine. And there's still a lot of advisors just hoping a client likes them more because they have not made a compelling argument to where it's almost imperative that they switch, that the person actually has a sense of urgency of like, oh, I'm missing out because you've done such a good job communicating the difference of what I'm doing now versus what I could be doing. And part of that is this point, our last point here, which is make it visual. Take the responsibility to say, what would be required for this person to see the difference on what they've been getting and what I could give them and the value of it. And to get you a head start on that, like download the one pager we built. And if you want to print it and just start using it, you have to give them a context of what we've been doing has been working, but it's time for us to take a different approach.
Right.
And this isn't something we have to do every year, but we probably need to do it at least once every 3 to 5 years. Because as your life changes, what I don't want to do is do a financial plan and put it on a shelf and never look at it again. That wouldn't make sense. And what you're doing is you're just getting agreement. You're like, they're like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense to not just make decisions one time and then not talk about it for 10 more years.
Right.
As an advisor, that's probably not the plan you have for yourself. Does your financial plan reflect what you're telling other people to do? And most of the time I talk to advisors, they're not taking every dollar they have and putting it into a mutual fund or just buying insurance every month.
But that's their argument for clients.
They're building their business, which is what, you know, we're business owners, so we're doing that. And they're probably like, oh, I like real estate. How am I paying less taxes? Like, we're probably applying a much better process, whether we are doing it intentionally or unintentionally, to our own financial plan versus a process that we're actually applying to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap up, audit what you're doing now, be real, be humble. Most advisors are not doing true financial planning. They're sprinkling it on top and trying to get to the AUM. I want to challenge you to start introducing it to your clients as an option. And then you have to decide as a business owner, am I the option? Is there somebody else? Am I part of a bigger firm that I can outsource that and I can be the quarterback and I don't have to do the data input and I don't have to do all the, you know, the information gathering, but I can do the presentation and walk through it. There's a version of this that doesn't add a lot of lift, but it does improve your reputation, probably get you a lot more referrals and new business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll reflect someday and say, oh, that felt more right. That felt like a financial planning advisor role versus a product salesperson that periodically touches base just to check on their products.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to something you said in the very beginning to kind of wrap it up is, There's low-hanging fruit, but you still got to pick it. You still have to go out there and get it and be intentional about it. You'd be like, well, it's there. You have to go do the work, and you have to have a compelling, clear justification for the conversation and for the fee. And so that visual has no branding on it. Mm-hmm. So you can say, this is, you know, put your branding on it, whatever. We want to equip you. But that'll be in our show notes. Take that and present the conversation, follow the main points, which we'll have outlined in our show notes today.
Yep.
And if you're doing that with that low-hanging fruit, you will get planning clients. It happens to people that attend our events and our coaching program all the time. It's just go home, do this, you will get planning clients.
Yeah. And the shout out to a few different groups. If you were an advisor that's comfortable, you know, you're in your 50s and 60s and you're kind of riding the wave and just saying, I don't really need to change a lot, bring in somebody to add this to your business. To the young advisor that has that opportunity, find a senior advisor that feels kind of like they're coasting and comfortable and come in and say, hey, I want to level up your business. Mm-hmm. I think for both of those people, that's a big opportunity as our industry is shifting. But if you're like me, where you're like, no, I'm still in it. Like I'm waking up every day and trying to go to battle and build a business and help more people. There's a way to build a process, add people to your team to where now financial planning is a healthy revenue stream for us in addition to AUM and insurance. That is the practice of the future. It will take some work, but for all of our advisors we coach, it is worth the work.
Awesome. Thank you, Stan.
Thanks, brother. Sten here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing, and I'm looking to fill a couple positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up-and-coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity or you know somebody that would be a potentially a great fit, please email us at arome, the letter A, R-O-M-E, at investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.